Bats have been feared throughout history, and their behavior has often been seen as threatening or even dangerous.
But in fact, we rely on bats for pest control, and a lot of the crops that we count on, like bananas and cocoa, wouldn't be possible without bats as pollinators.
Joining us now is Merlin Tuttle. He's the founder of Bat Conservation International and has been studying bats for more than 50 years. His brand new book is The Secret Lives of Bats. Merlin, welcome to Central Time.
I'm delighted to be able to join you today.
Well, I will say right up front that I'm a huge fan of bats, so I'm really happy to be talking with you about it. There are a lot of fascinating animals in the world. Clearly, you think bats are right at the top of the list. How did you decide to study them?
Well, it's hard not to be incredibly fascinated by bats. There are more than 1,300 species of bats worldwide. They come from tiny little guys that weigh a third less than a penny to giants with six-foot wingspans. They're incredibly sophisticated. They have social systems very similar to those of higher primates and dolphins. They adopt orphans. They help others in need. They share information. They can live up to 41 years in the wild, which is the equivalent of a human living to be 100 and still being able to run sprints through obstacle courses.
And you've been studying bats for more than half a century. When you first started, sort of the early years, people sounds like sort of thought you were crazy. Why did they think that?
Well, when I began studying bats, most people thought they were nothing but dirty, rabid vermin. And that's very unfortunate. We simply tend to fear what we don't understand, and bats are active mostly at night and often live in places where people can't see them very well. It's fascinating to recognize that in parts of the world where bats have 3 to 5, 6 foot wingspans and live out in the open like birds, that people not only don't fear them, but often eulogize them as folk heroes. It's where they're small and hard to see and more difficult to understand that so many of us have misunderstood and feared bats needlessly.
So, Merlin, you founded Bat Conservation International in 1982, and you gave up a job at the Milwaukee Public Museum to move that organization to Austin, Texas. Why Austin?
Austin at the time was generating more negative publicity about bats than probably all the other places in the world combined. There were hundreds of thousands of bats just beginning to move into newly created crevices under a bridge in the center of Austin. And public health officials were predicting that these bats were going to be largely rabid, would attack people, were dangerous. People of Austin were panicking and signing petitions to have them eradicated. But I figured that any town that had that many bats and that many news media with nothing better to do than talk about them would be an ideal location for educating people about the value of living harmoniously with bats. So I relocated Bat Conservation International to Austin, and although people think it must have been a huge job, it really wasn't that hard to show people how safe it really can be to live with bats. Now, 35 years later, having spent that whole time with 1.5 million bats under our bridge in the center of Austin, Texas, not one person has been attacked, not one person has contracted disease from a bat. But now we know that that one colony is eating 15 tons of insects a night and that they're bringing in $12 million tourist dollars every summer. So it has turned out to be exactly what I hoped it would be, a model example of how humans can benefit from living with bats.
And what are the lessons learned from that? I mean, I've been to Austin. I know that community has embraced those bats. They're a tourist attraction now. So what can other communities learn from that?
Well, first of all, the values of bats vary depending on where you are in the world, but there's no place in the world where bats aren't extremely valuable, except in the very few where there aren't any bats. Bats live virtually everywhere where humans live, except in the most extreme polar and desert regions. And you can take any part of the world, and I can give you a great example of why bats are really important there.
Please do.
Okay. In Texas, for example, one of the first places that I set as a target for protection was the world's largest remaining bat population in Bracken Cave. The 10 to 20 million bats there have enormous agricultural impact, In fact, it's best understood, perhaps, if we just think about the fact that each spring, billions of corn earworm and armyworm moths fly north into the United States out of Mexico and Central America. And as they come in, each female is carrying 500 to 1,000 eggs. And our bats fly up to thousands of feet above ground to intercept these invaders. And each time they eat one of those moths, they're destroying 500 to 1,000 eggs. That means that if one of our bats eats only half of its nightly capacity in these moths, that it will prevent 10 to 20,000 eggs from being laid on Texas crops. That's enough to force a Texas farmer to spray multiple acres with pesticides at a cost of $74 an acre. That's the impact of one bat. Mm. And then we have millions of bats which are eating up to 100 tons or more of insects in a single night.
I believe that the figure here in Wisconsin is actually over $1 billion a year that bats are saving farmers in things like pesticides that you're talking about.
Yes. In fact, it can be argued probably very accurately that our bats in Texas are helping farmers in Wisconsin, because the corn earworm moths, as they migrate into Texas, they come down and lay eggs on Texas crops, and then when those eggs mature into more adults, they migrate another 500 or so miles north and sit down and lay more eggs. And this goes on all summer until they finally reach Wisconsin, where they attack corn there too and other crops. But by having our bats intercept them by the billions and eat them in Texas, it reduces the number that have a chance to reach Wisconsin.
The week leading up to Halloween is designated as Bat Week, and we are talking with Merlin Tuttle. He's the founder of Bat Conservation International, and we're discussing his book, The Secret Lives of Bats, My Adventures with the World's Most Misunderstood Mammals. Now, Merlin, you've literally risked your life on multiple occasions in your pursuit of bats. I'm guessing those are some of the adventures that you mentioned in the title of your book. Tell us about some of the lengths you've had to go to study bats.
Excuse me?
Tell us about some of your adventures in trying to get into those difficult places.
Well, having traveled literally all continents where bats exist, I have run into some very interesting experiences. Interestingly, for all people fear bats, none of my scary experiences involved bats. They all involved people or other animals that I encountered while I was looking for bats. I've been captured twice by communist insurgents. I've been shot at by moonshiners.
Wow.
I've been charged by elephants, stalked by lions and tigers, ended up sharing a passage in a cave with a big cobra. I've had a lot of pretty exciting experiences, but what most people might be surprised at is that it's not bats that I've had to worry about. It's all the other creatures, mostly humans.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of adventures, all in the pursuit of bats. So having gotten so up close and personal with bats over the years, do you have any particular affection in your heart for any particular species of bats?
I tend to like best the ones I've spent the most time with. The first bats that I spent a lot of intense close-up time with after early on studying gray bats were the frog-eating bats I talk about in my book. And in those days, none of us had any idea how smart bats really were. And so I was probably the first person who discovered that bats could actually be trained just like dogs to do various things, come on call, go places on command. And one of the amazing things is that we found that bats that were trained to come on call to our hand for research purposes, even though we only trained them for a few nights, when they were released and marked and recaptured 1 to 2 years later, they still remembered to come on call to our hand.
And so, Merlin, you know a lot about bats. Are there still things about bat biology or migration or like you said, their social structures that are still mysteries that are yet to be studied?
Oh, the world of bats is an absolute wide-open frontier for new discoveries. When I started out, I actually discovered 5 new species in a new genus on one trip. And people are still discovering new species routinely. Even if you look at the species we already have described, most of them have not been more than superficially studied to describe them. And yet we're discovering new things all the time. Just this past year, my wife and I went to Borneo to photograph little woolly bats that weigh less than a nickel. And they've just recently been discovered to live in pitcher plants. Pitcher plants normally eat whatever enters, whether it's an insect or even a rat. And yet here's a bat that figured out how to live in pitcher plants, and it's turned out to be such a good relationship that the pitcher plants actually have developed echo reflectors to help guide the bats approaching so that they can find the entrance to the pitcher more easily, and have supplied special living quarters for bats.
Wow.
And these little bats, and one thing I should mention also is that although I did found Bat Conservation International, I'm very proud of the organization, I also have founded another organization since then, Merlin Tuttle's Bat Conservation. And if you look at merlintuttle.com, go there and look at our blogs for September a year ago, you'll find one where you'll see my wife Paula took video of these little woolly bats training me. Here are these little bats, so tiny, they only weigh 4 grams. That's only about a gram more than a U.S. penny, and nobody thought they could even be kept in captivity. They're tiny little fragile things.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. Merlin, thank you so much for joining us, and we leave it there. Merlin Tuttle is the founder of Bat Conservation International, founded that in 1982. His latest book is called The Secret Lives of Bats.